Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
This is Mitchell Davis, host of Taste Matters. You are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's 5 o'clock and it's Wednesday. And if it's 5 o'clock and it's Wednesday and you are listening to the Heritage Radio Network, you get to listen to me, Phil Colicchio, bringing you the business of the business. That is the show on the Heritage Radio Network that explores the business side of the hospitality industry. We talk about restaurants. We talk about hotels. We talk about cruise ships. We talk about airplanes. We talk about the industries within the industries, the groups that feed off of each other that create economies. To the best of my knowledge, very few people do interview shows like this. I wish there were more because I think the business side of the hospitality industry is supremely interesting. But enough about me. If you miss this broadcast live, you can jump right onto our website, www.heritageradionetwork.org. Click on the business icons, and you'll be able to listen to all of our business shows, where you'll be treated to interviews by such brilliant chef businessmen as my guest today, Michael Schwartz. Michael is back after a week's respite. If you listened last week, Chef Michael Schwartz from Miami, of Michael's Genuine Miami, talked to us about sort of the growth, the evolution of his Michael's Genuine concept from being annoyed with his partner, walking away from a solid business and starting up something new in a new neighborhood. Michael was one of the handful of chefs that I know who through the insight and brilliant writing of Frank Bruni had a good bit of his life changed.
Love that guy.
Yeah,
because not as much as I love you, Phil. And it's great to be back here, and fantastic.
It's good to have you back in
you.
Brooklyn, man.
Always
because,
good to be.
You know,
with
Miami.
You.
It's hot in Miami, but it's hotter in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's pretty hot.
Pretty hot, but that's okay.
That's all right.
Hot makes things grow.
We could take the heat.
We can take the heat.
Let's not even go there. What? Come on,
Chef Schwartz, my friends, is a fan of the Miami Heat, the LeBronless Miami Heat.
LeBron who?
You know what? I'm certain that they'll have a wonderfully interesting team this next year. And
yes,
that all the tickets will sell out. And maybe if they're wise enough to put a Michael's Pub in the... And what is the center down there that they play
The American Airlines Arena.
In the American Airlines Arena, yes. Then perhaps they'll drag in a whole new set.
Phil, let's not talk about basketball.
You're right. Let's not.
We can talk about Frank Bruni. I love that guy.
Well,
catapulted.
You know what? There
you go. Catapulted our business.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
A couple of other chefs I've had on this show have also had the New York Times treatment, good and bad. But where I find it to be the most interesting is when that once a year comes around, when a New York Times food critic really talks about a restaurant in another city or a handful of restaurants. And that happened to people we know. That happened to Mark Vetri.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Bruni wrote an incredibly flattering, significant article that really brought Mark Vetri into the national spotlight. Tim Cushman.
Mm-hmm. Tim was in the piece that was, in fact, I think he got the number one spot. So Frank did a top 10 countdown of best new restaurants outside of New York City.
Right.
We landed at number four. You know, it was, I think, a 3 or 4 week, part series.
Right.
So it was this sort of, time released goodness you know. And so we landed at number four, and it was a huge shot in the arm for us.
And you were ready for it. What was interesting is you were ready for it.
Yeah.
If it had come, you know, 6 months, 7 months earlier, you might not have been ready for it.
Yeah, well, timing is everything. But we owe that guy a lot. And then following up, probably a year and a half later, 2 years, did a big brunch story on us when we launched brunch at Michael's Genuine. And he really, you know,
funny thing that you told me that I think listeners should know is that you told me you'd never met the guy.
No.
Before.
Still have not met him. So if you're listening, Frank Broody, I'm coming for you. I'm gunning for you, Frank.
That's
no, it's true. I never met him, but and he probably doesn't even realize me. Maybe he does.
No, they do.
He knows the importance. I thought he was a really one of the better food critics for the Times.
Well, I've seen some pieces that he's written that have been scathing. I mean, horrible, horrible reviews, personal,
but very
attacks.
Well, but very well written.
They make you laugh, unless they're about you. But you know, but
well, maybe I'd love him because he was just so good to us. So,
well, I think that usually goes along with a good review. That being said, that review actually made a difference for a lot of people, not just you. It made a difference, as it turns out, for probably a couple of hundred people, which is about how many people you're employing now, right?
Yeah. I try
right?
not to think about that, except every payroll day.
Right. Well, we can move past that, but
yeah, lots of employees.
But not
lots of employees.
But not too far past it, because again, we're talking about a business.
The business.
Now, we talked about the restaurant, Michael's Genuine. We talked about Royal Caribbean and the difference that Royal Caribbean has made in your life and the difference that you've made in the offerings that Royal Caribbean can provide.
Incremental changes.
But you're an honest guy, you're a straight shooter, and I want to talk to you about what can probably be the love-hate relationship of your lifetime, and that is the hotel industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Miami
I'm
is
not
hotel
I'm not
central.
Saying anything.
No, yes, you are.
I
yes,
love
you
it.
Are.
I have
yes,
no comment. No comment.
Great. Well, it's going to be a short show.
Thanks and good night.
Michael, how many hotels are you currently touching with your expertise?
Currently, no.
Well, you're providing?
Here. No, just one. You know, we're working at the Raleigh Hotel. You know, and the big thing about any partnership, right? And anytime you're doing business with other people, let alone a bigger corporation or a company, mm-hmm. is that, and this is what I've realized over the last couple of years, and maybe I already knew it, but it sort of solidified for me, mm-hmm. is that I like to have control, right?
And that would make you an executive chef.
Right.
And an entrepreneur.
Yes. Right. But when you have partners, you don't have as much control. So that, you know, that's been a big lesson for us in learning, you know, and navigating and deciding which opportunities to take advantage of, you know, and which ones not to. And so, you know, working in a hotel is interesting and different and frustrating and exciting and satisfying all at the same time.
Well, you know, there you are. You become the go-to restaurant in Miami. The other side of town is South Beach. Again, 8 years ago, people weren't going to South Beach for a dining experience. I mean, today, how many rock star chefs are in South Beach? Not including yourself.
Well, I don't know. It seems like most of the action now is centered around hotels, mm-hmm. and hotel chefs.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know. I tend to think it's not a good thing, personally.
Discuss. Why? I mean, from an economic standpoint, look, you left our audience at the end of the last show by saying you were really happy with the way your portfolio was looking right now. And by portfolio, I mean your business structure. Is that a good bit of it is in self-owned restaurants, and a good bit of it is working through management and consulting arrangements.
Right.
Not everybody knows what a management and consulting arrangement is.
Right.
But in short, it's when another group owns the space that you're in. If it's a hotel, you're usually having the chef and operator of a restaurant is usually providing more services than just operating the restaurant. And in the cruise ship industry, probably a little bit more limited in terms of where you're impacting things. But on the hotel side, what goes right? What goes wrong? What drives you nuts? What makes you happy?
Well, I think that the problem, and so why I said, you know, that I don't think it's great, is that usually a creative person's expression, chef, right, their vision gets watered down, right? Because they're not able to do maybe everything that they want to do. And that doesn't mean just what the food is on the plate, but the experience and how you feel when you walk into a space. You know, and so usually, obviously, a chef's restaurant within a hotel is in the hotel. So there's the lobby and how that makes you feel when you enter the lobby, how you pull up and how much valet parking is and who greets you and what you hear and what you see and the lighting and the music and all those things affect your experience when you're walking into a hotel, right?
And very few of them you can impact, right?
Well, that's my point, you know, so, you know, I mean, there are instances when, you know, it's about the creative freedom, the creative direction, who's driving that and how does it, you know, how does it relate to what you want to accomplish and what sense of style or aesthetic is? And that's the biggest problem.
But are the deals too seductive? I mean, the idea that someone, a group comes to you and says, hey, look, we want your name. We want your likeness. We want your ethos. We want it in our hotel. We're willing to build out a space for you to do what you do. We don't need you to invest your own capital in it. We'd welcome it, but we don't need you to do it. And we want to pay you and basically help you build your brand.
Right.
How do you say no? The hell do you say
exactly.
no?
Exactly. I mean, that's very appealing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we do those deals. So I guess, you know, the best way is to get the best deal you can and have the most control over things. That for me, it's the having control over the things that people don't think are important to a chef. Right? Because it's you make your food, you make the menu. But there's so many other things that go into the experience of dining or enjoying yourself out and having an experience.
Is that still where your head is as a business owner? Put your chef hat off, put your business hat on. I mean, is it still your goal as a business person to provide an experience?
To open a hotel.
No. Well,
yes.
Do you want to open a hotel?
Yes. No, I'm not saying I want to open a hotel, but I would love the opportunity to have the creative direction for the whole property. You know, because I'm more, you know, maybe particular about certain aesthetics and design and service things that maybe other chefs aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not interested or that's not that important to them. But my sense of style and what I think is important is hard to, you know, navigate in some of those licensing deals.
Well, that's an awful lot of responsibility to put on yourself, chef. But if leaders in the hotel industry are listening to this show, as they usually do on Wednesdays, please know that Michael Schwartz is available to assist you.
100% creative direction.
If you provide him with 100% creative direction.
It's no big deal. Don't be scared. I got this. You know, I did design the Cypress Room, our newest.
You know, my understanding is that was just left off the short list of the James Beard Awards for design.
Well, I don't know about that. I submitted, though, I'll tell you that.
I do. No, listen, it's the coolest. Well, yeah, but you know, all right, it's great. We can be a little freewheeling now because I did want to talk about the hotels, but
yeah, we can talk more.
But
about
I think the Cypress Room is just really one of the coolest spaces I've ever been in. But it didn't get the immediate traction you were hoping for, did it?
No.
Why? What do you think? Like, what's the deal there?
You know, Miami, you know, I'm not going to go on a rant.
Don't rant.
But what I'll tell you is what we did at the Cypress Room.
We're having
the Cypress
a business
Room,
discussion here.
The Cypress Room is our newest restaurant. It's about a year and a half old. It's very small, about 40 seats. It's a beautiful bar, small open kitchen. It's sort of a European, American style tavern-ish. But, you know, there's white tablecloth. and Fine China and Choreograph Service. And so what we wanted to do is something that nobody was doing in Miami.
Well, it doesn't strike a patron as being overly fussy.
No, it's not fussy at all.
By any stretch, right?
It's not fussy at all. In fact, when it's full, it's quite boisterous. But it's choreographed, and it's service that you would be proud to introduce somebody to that you were trying to impress, or you would be happy receiving that service because of all the little things that we do at the Cypress Room. But that went away, I think, in general in this country, and then particularly in Miami, where everything turned into Bearwood tables, pork-centric menu, Edison bulb, and shitty service based on order whatever you want. It'll come out whenever it's ready. And then you order 10 things, and like 8 hit the table in a matter of 5 minutes, and then you're like, So I think that it just became this excuse for bad service. And we wanted to do something different. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Cypress Room was about. And, and so it took a while. It took a while for Miami to sort of get it.
Well, and are they starting to get it? Look, more service, as a restaurant patron, more service means greater expense to the patron, usually. Is that how it translates?
Yeah, it's more expensive. Mm-hmm. Sure. It's more expensive than Michael's Genuine.
Mm-hmm. Because?
It's a different experience.
Right, different concept.
China costs more. They're iron in the tablecloths in between turns. The little things.
Always a cool thing to see.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. But so on the other side, so here's Michael's Genuine, and that seems to be the sun around which some of the planets revolve. You also opened a joint. Well, I'll just call it a joint.
The pizzeria?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love what you do. That is your venue for guest chefs.
Yes.
Talk about that program, which frankly, in my view, has inspired a lot of other people to do similar programs. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we're about 3 years in now. And mm-hmm. and we took over an existing pizzeria that was in our neighborhood. It had a wood-burning oven that we loved, that we were used to working with. And one of the reasons we did it was because we thought it would be a great venue to shut down and turn into something else every once in a while. And Michael's Genuine, frankly, is a machine that we just can't stop now. And it's big. Harry's is smaller. I think it's about 75 seats with indoor and outdoor seating. And so we took it over and we did a pizzeria. Mm-hmm. But every month we invite a chef to come and we close the restaurant and we turn it over to them. It becomes their restaurant, their menu, family style. One seating, free poured wine. There's no wine pairings. There's, it's a big family style event. The chef is out in the dining room cooking on the wood oven, talking to guests.
I used to say I'd love to see more of that. I can't say that anymore because I see a lot of it now.
There's a lot of it.
A lot of it and another trend.
And there should, it's a great trend, though. Yeah. I mean, I'm all for trends that make sense and yep. that are good. And if people latch on to that, that's great. That just makes more excitement.
We're gonna honor another trend now, Mike, and we're gonna take a short break.
Yes, sir.
It's a trend that I do.
It was a good segue.
In the radio, it was a great segue.
Love
but
that.
You're Mr. Segue. I'm here with Michael Schwartz, the brilliant chef and owner of Michael's Genuine in Miami, the Cypress Room in Miami, Harry's Pizzeria in Miami, Michael's Genuine in Grand Cayman. We got to talk about that when you come back. I hear there's an island off of Miami. Folks, looking forward to seeing you in a few minutes.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
All right, the dulcet tones of Chris Thiele and the Punch Brothers bringing us back to the business of the business. I'm here wrapping up my session with my good friend, fellow I admire quite a bit, Michael Schwartz. Michael.
Phil.
We got about 15 minutes left. Let's talk about where it's all going. All right. We talk about where it started and where it's come. Well, one of the things we didn't talk about was that you and I were involved in something that was really one of your first growth pieces. You took Michael's Genuine precisely because you believed that you could control how it was going to go, right? And you took it to a terrific spot in Kamana Bay in Grand Cayman.
Yeah, that's your fault.
Ah, that's not a fault at all. You built out a beautiful restaurant
there.
That's
beautiful.
In a beautiful spot.
It was a great experience. Still is. 4 years now.
Yep.
Yeah, we just celebrated our fourth birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that was a great opportunity for us to reproduce the concept and control it in a way we were comfortable with. We learned a lot.
Develop confidence in your ability to handle more than one project.
That was the first... the first next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think we did a pretty good job. I think the build out's beautiful. The island's great. The support of the parent company is great.
Right.
And you know, so it continues to go. And
no, you listen. You opened that restaurant at a time when the economy had turned a little bit. That you know the development of the island just slowed a little bit. That the recession. Hit Grand Cayman a little bit later than it hit us.
Right.
But it's developing again. The parent company out there, the wonderful people at Dart. I know that they still believe very strongly in what you're doing there and what other folks that they're working with are doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they had great vision mm-hmm. and continue to
right.
on their 20 or 25 year plan that they're putting in place. But
it's quite a plan.
You know, like I said, it was a great opportunity for us to, you know, that was the start really for us mm-hmm. of the expansion of our company and learning how to become a brand and how to start doing business. And
so where does it go? I mean, here you are. There a lot of the time that we spend together. You know, when we're not working, I know we sort of look to, you know, really, really not focus on all of the business decisions we have to make, you know, going forward. We talk about our families. We talk about, you know, just getting the heck out of Dodge for a couple of days, going, you know, I've been angling to go on a trip to South America with you because it's another experience that we can collect in our, you know, in our lives that we can hopefully enrich other people's lives with. But the future of Michael Schwartz and not just the Michael's brand is, you know, where do you see it? You lied before. You said you don't have a game plan. You certainly have an outline.
Well, you know, what's interesting is you make a deal now and you got to operate it 18 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
So we made some deals this year that we're going to be operating with about 18 months from now. So mm-hmm. besides the ships that are going to roll out over the next couple of years, we signed a deal to do a great waterfront restaurant in Miami, and we're super excited about that. There is no great waterfront dining in Miami. It's a freestanding right on Biscayne Bay, beautiful location. So we're really excited about developing that concept.
You're a neighborhood maker now.
Yeah, and this is an up and coming neighborhood called Edgewater.
Yep.
So that's on tap. We're going to do another restaurant with our friends at SBE in the new SLS on Brickell, and we're excited about that opportunity to develop an Italian restaurant. It'll be another one off. And then we got to, you know, open some pubs on ships. So the interesting thing is that, you know, you make the deals and then they're sort of time released.
Right.
So, you know, you don't really know when enough's enough.
Are you finding, you know, I talk to obviously a lot of the chefs up here, a lot of the restaurateurs. The consistent observation is that there's not enough talent out there to help people grow right now. Are you finding that down in your neighborhood too?
Yeah, that's always been difficult. You know, finding good people and you know, Miami is known for some nightlife action, and so, you know, people like to go out and party. People don't like to get up and work. You know, I think it's always been like that. And I think every chef in every town will complain to you about finding good people and the labor pool.
Right.
So, you know, and I don't know what the answer is. You know, it's to educate the young kids and get them excited about this business, which I think is happening, you know, without these, you know, grand, you know, dreams of stardom. You know, and just getting back to business, put your head down and working hard.
You know what? Nobody promotes the working hard part, you know, right now. It's still all about the idea of, you know, I'm going to culinary school or I'm going to hotel management school so I can have a TV show or that I can be a talking head. And
that's crazy, right?
Well, it is crazy. And you know, one of the reasons that I do the show is because I feel like this is an extension of my professional life, that I get to talk with colleagues and clients really about, you know, the business piece of it in a serious way. You know, it's great. I love that people listen. I love that people comment. But we're not out, you know, we're not out trying to chase a rating. You know, what we're trying to do is really explore what it's like, you know, to be in the industry in some way or another. Well, with a situation like you have, why wouldn't you create a company that, you know, basically incubates new ideas? You give mentorships. You talked about mentoring people. Would that be part of the future?
I think any good operator, any good chef becomes a good teacher, becomes a good mentor. So, you know, the more restaurants you open or the more projects you do, the more employees you have, the more they rely on your direction. So that's happening, you know, and I think that once we owners and operators and chefs embrace that, then we can become good mentors, you know, and that's important. You know, I know that it was important for me to find people that would show me and teach me when I was young and still, like you have, about business. So, you know, we're all about that and sharing ideas and mentoring our employees. In fact, that's my role right now. You know, I'm not in the kitchen cooking like I used to.
Just going
to
ask you, do you take the whites off at some point?
Yeah, they're off. Yeah. You know, and so my job is to go and pat people on the back and make sure they have what they need to be successful and to support their growth and their success and their talent. You know, so I have great, talented people working in the kitchens at all the restaurants that deserve recognition, that will get it, and that look for advice and some positive reinforcement. That's my job.
So the new things you talked about that are coming really sort of as a result of the quality of what you do and the quality of the business operations. Do you foresee going further in that area? Do you foresee saying, you know what, it's time for me, you know, to expand the portfolio of the things I own? Do I want to continue to do this? Do I want to start to, you know, when in my book, right, I start thinking to myself that there are people who are beginning to make a lot of money in this industry, but I still don't see them doing the things I would expect, you know, participating in the real estate deals. You know,
yeah.
Really focusing on that, saying, you know what? No, I don't want to do. I've got enough restaurants and hotels. I want to be in a mixed use project, and I want to help run it. There you are in Miami. Does that come up in the conversation?
Yeah,
that you're having now.
Yeah,
should
I guess it's a question of how you see that as, you know, as your vision and mm-hmm. how you want to attack it. there's lots of opportunities and there's a million ways to skin a cat, right? So, you know, real estate investment in Miami is a good idea, you know, and as a chef and an owner and operator, it's something that I wish that I had explored maybe sooner.
You got to be in the position to do it. I mean,
exactly.
You know, you're
exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not sure where we're going in terms of that, you know, how many more restaurants we could open, how many, you know, how big we want to get, how many employees we want to have. Yeah. Those are some decisions that we're going to have.
Well,
to make.
I can tell you that the next wave that's coming is appropriately is more of a focus on mixed use development, more opportunity. Mixed use developers cannot risk their capital on unproven hospitality people.
Right.
So people in your position are going to be seeing opportunities that they can take advantage of, which are not cash rich.
Right.
They're equity. There'll be equity opportunities.
All right. Well, let's do that.
I think we should, Nick. I think we should. I think the people here, I think Brooklyn is a perfect place to... it's a perfect place to look and see how that worked.
Ah,
all
okay.
Right? Because the hospitality industry helped remake Brooklyn.
Right.
The hospitality industry has helped to remake Miami.
Yep.
And all of the different parts of Miami that you, I think, so eloquently present. You do not walk around like somebody that you would imagine you're going to see walking down the street in South Beach, right? You still look like you carry yourself like a Northeasterner in flip-flops. I mean that as a compliment, right? That the idea is a long-term idea, and that's one of the reasons that I think that you and I have maintained such a good relationship is that I watch how you treat your business, and you treat your business as a long-term proposition, and you have planted your ass in a town and said, this is where I'm based. This is where my home is. All of the opportunities I can get around the world, that's all super, but I'd still rather be the mayor of my own environment, you know, and you've done that. So I hope you continue, to share these opportunities with talented people. By the way, you talk about some of those talented people that work with you. You got some great people.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah.
Right down the line.
Go ahead.
Well, starting with Hetty Goldsmith, fantastic pastry chef.
Right.
You know, and I'm lucky because I have an executive chef for our hospitality, group, our company that oversees all the restaurants. And he's like me. He's a mini me. And I don't mean that because he's shorter than me, but he's me. He's young and hungry, and he's got a good palate, and he's mature beyond his years. And so I'm blessed with having him in our company. His name is Bradley Heron, and he started as a line cook at Michael's Genuine and worked his way up to this executive chef position. And then every chef in all the restaurants. So I got a guy named Roel Alcudia. He's the executive chef at the Cypress Room, and he came from Barbudo, and Jonathan Waxman gifted me him. First, he fired him and said you should hire him, and I did. And he's amazingly talented.
For those of you out there who keep your eye on chef collaborations, one of my favorites that exist is the Schwartz Waxman Jews Who Cook Italian.
each <That's right>.
Year.
Yeah, we love that. He's a better Italian cook than me. He's probably a better cook than
Well, that's another guy that I hope to get on this show soon because he's doing an awful lot.
Yeah, and he's got a great radio voice.
He does.
He's got a face for radio.
He's a lot mellower, I think, than you and I, except when you...
He's terrific.
He is terrific. Well, you're terrific. And I want to thank you again. We're going to wrap this up. Michael, thanks for coming out to Brooklyn.
My pleasure.
I know we have a little bit of... a little bit of business to take care of after the show. I've got a show for you back to your beautiful family.
That's so right. They're waiting. They're my beautiful family.
Waiting,
my wife, Tamara.
With bated breath. To
daughters, Ella and Lulu, and Harry the drummer.
And Harry banging those
Love
skins out there. Folks, if you're in Miami, visit Michael's Genuine. Visit the Cypress Room. Visit Harry's. Visit the Raleigh Hotel. Visit the soon-to-be hotel at Brickell, the SLS at Brickell.
That's right.
Right?
And Paraiso Bay in Edgewater.
Paraiso Bay.
About a year and a half.
Visit all of them and get yourself out on the cruise lines.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared. That's right. Folks, we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to The Business of the Business. Michael?
Phil, thanks so much.
I like the pizza here.
Pizza's awesome.
Let's have a little more.
Let's do it.
All right, man. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.